This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The Houston Texans are on the clock.
What a son of a bitch.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Ah, it is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old dirty show, T-Mill and Psycho T have the latest. And the latest is we are here and business is picking up as more people are walking around. But we are here live at the Texans draft party right across the street from George R. Brown Convention Center. And I see the Modelo people are out. The ladies from Modelo are out. And
hey, ladies.
Yeah, they got a crew, too.
Yeah,
Tyler, you better slide on by.
Girls.
Modelo football jerseys and red cowboy boots. So they are out here, and many fans are walking up and down, and people are getting ready to have a good time. That's a Mario. Is that Mario Edwards?
Mario Williams.
Mario Williams. Yeah, there you go. Mario Williams jersey right there. Man, she looks too young to be pulling out a Mario Williams jersey, like to pick it.
Maybe she's just aged. Maybe she's aged well.
Yeah, maybe that's it. But
I'm going to venture out and say Mom probably handed that down to her.
Pops. Yeah. You're right. Maybe Mom. Mom was a big Mario Williams fan. But no, man, it's a good time to be had down here. Gates will open up at 6:30, and they got everything covered for you. Drinks for you, the adults. Drinks for the kids. Food trucks all around the place.
God bless, brother.
Yep, and you can see the Texans cheerleaders. You can see Toro. You can come out and see us. You can see some of Sports Radio 610 personalities as well. And just enjoy a good time amongst Texans fans as we get ready for the draft. And, Clint, potentially there could be some movement happening today with the Texans because we've already seen that they have they've made a trade. Nick Caserio is already at work. I saw Area 45's Patrick Creighton with a text of Trader Nick is back at it again. And they have already made a move to pick up some extra picks in this year's draft. I'll tell you what this is if you're just getting your car in here and what that is. And those moves are they have traded a fifth-round pick from this year and also a fifth-round pick from the 2027 draft. They have traded that to their favorite trade partners in the world, the Cleveland Browns, and the Browns are giving back to the Texans 2 6-round picks in this year's draft, 179 and 216 overall, and then also a 7th-round pick in this year's draft, 255 overall. They are swapping those picks. The Texans pick up 3 extra picks, and they now have 9 picks total in this year's draft, none in the 4th and 5th round right now, but that's where they are. And Clint, to me, this just goes along with what we were hearing yesterday about them potentially word that they're trying to move up and go up. I think this may just add to them trying to position themselves into making a move today.
I don't know how you can make any other sense of it. I mean, you gave up a fifth-round pick in this year's draft and a fifth-round pick in 2027 to go out and get more picks, which all of them happen to be in this year's draft, later than the picks that you gave up. I mean, the only way to make sense of it is hey, they needed multiple picks to sweeten some deal to move up in this draft. Like, it doesn't make sense for Nick to trade a fifth round, a 2027 fifth round pick, or hell, this year's fifth round pick for extra six and sevens if he's just going to pick with them this year. Like, that makes zero sense. So it's definitely a move to stockpile picks to sweeten some level of deal, whether it's using packaging it with our first round pick to move up in the first today, packaging it with our second round pick to move up in the second tomorrow, packaging it with the extra third that you have in this draft to move up or at some level, packaging it with next year's additional second round pick that you got to move up to some degree. There's so many different options for Nick, but there's two things. You don't move back from the fifth round to the sixth. I don't even care if it's two picks like that. Unless you're stockpiling to move up and get a premium, improve a premium pick, number one. And number two, I don't think you trade something 2 hours, 3 hours before the first round of the draft starts to do something in the second round tomorrow, right? I mean, we know that, all right, tonight, if Banks is a guy, if Banks starts to slide a little bit and we got to move two or three spots, we've already talked to teams and we know somewhat what it's going to take to move those spots. If Booker's our guy and it looks like Booker's going to come off the board a little bit before us and we got to move a couple places, how are we going to do that? Now they got the ammo. They got more ammo, to do it now, to move however far they need to move. And so not only do I think it's stockpiling picks for this year, hell, I think it's stockpiling picks either for insurance tonight or for a surefire we're making a move tonight.
Is your and people on the text line, the Jim Adler Texas Hammer text line, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch, you can answer this too. Is your gut feel right now that in some form or fashion the Texans aren't actually going to be selecting at 25 tonight?
Yes. I think they're going to move up. I think they're going to be forced to move up and get their guy, whoever that may be, whether it's an O-lineman or a wide receiver. I would be comfortable with both. I'd be good with both. I'd be excited as hell about both. I think it's going to be an offensive lineman. There's a handful of them that I think they could be preparing to get, one or the other. I'm over the top confident in Nick and D'Amico together. In these drafts, and it's closer it gets here, which we're pretty close right now, the more excited I get about it, man.
All right.
Name that bush right there she's walking with. Texas Sage.
Okay, Texas Sage.
I did what about not the other know one? Where that was.
I ain't got that one.
Yeah, Tyler, that was shaky.
Holy hell.
Man, name that bush.
Look at her now.
I can't keep them alive,
I was going to say Shannon Tweed.
You know how hard it is to kill a Texas Sage, and I've killed several. I can't keep them alive.
Oh, I forgot. Stop. You did have that painting run, that planting run that you were just making stops at local businesses and just picking up plants. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, that's the draft or the trade part. Clint, what are the top stories in the draft overall that you have thoughts about coming up tonight?
Yeah, look, I think there's a few of them. Big picture, there's no way, unless you've been under a rock, you know that's a Shedeur Sanders slander, if you will, appears to be getting stronger and stronger the closer we get to this first round kickoff.
Whatever it is, he's the number one story in the draft.
And look, I to be honest with you, we didn't have this conversation, but if we'd have had this conversation a month ago, knowing him, knowing Prime, knowing the media, we could have probably guessed he was going to be in the top of that list somewhere come draft time. And so we'll see how real it is tonight. Look, I think it's part of the game. When you're as flashy as he is and you're as good as a player as he is and you're Deion Sanders, one of the greatest athletes of all time, when you're his son, there's going to be a lot of critics, man. What good, bad, or indifferent, folks are going to use you to get clicks. How real is it? What are NFL teams thinking with Shedeur Sanders? I think that nationally, I think that leads the way. Number two, I think, Ron, for me, is it involves Ashton Jeanty, the running back, which I think he's been a top story all year long as well. It's a two-way street here for us in Houston with Ashton Jeanty. He's a lightning rod. Like, where does he go? Where does the running back? You know, how valuable is the running backs in today's game after what Saquon Barkley just did? But the other side of that is the word on the street is that Jacksonville is the team to watch, to even move up in the draft potentially, but to watch for Ashton Jeanty. So,
Duval.
That guy right there, offensive-minded head coach, they're coming in and they're fixing to you know, we'll see how they handle things. And so the Ashton Jeanty story or saga or drama, whatever you want to, however you want to couch it, I think that's one. And then, Ron, I think the one, again, the fact that it's Jacksonville in the division, I think that's one to keep an eye on for us here in Houston. But, you know, the Nick Caserio thing, and it's already proven true, right, that with this most recent trade, you know, Nick's getting a lot of run nationally in a positive light and being a guy that gets aggressive in the draft and could be possibly looking to move up in the draft. And now you have this trade, so I'm assuming that Nick Caserio and the Houston Texans are the top story, the lead story right now across the country. But I do think that, you know, that is, I think Nick Caserio and what the Texans do, I think that is one of the bigger stories. You got a team that's been stuck in the second round of the playoffs, that's fighting an uphill battle against some of the powers that be in the AFC. They're right there. They got their quarterback. They got their head coach. They got a general manager that's fun to talk about come draft time. And so I think that's a real story. And for us, it's a hell of a follow, man. I'm excited to see what Nick does.
Clint, back to the top story that you said.
Shedeur Sanders.
I found something that Dan Orlovsky said earlier today on ESPN that stuck out to me. He said, you know, unlike many other sports, football is the sport in which, yo, man, it comes down to, hey, man, can this dude play? Can he play? Like, yeah, there may be some personal stuff, but or whatever. But ultimately, it is can he play? And can he play? Like, yeah, old Randy Moss he's a problem, but you know, hey, Minnesota said, can he play?
That's right.
Like, we'll go get him.
A lot of teams hate they passed on that problem, didn't they?
Yeah. I mean, you can think of a lot of people that, oh boy, but yeah, there's issues, concerns, and some of it has gone left, and some of it has worked out. And if you can play, you can play. So I do think the quarterback position is very, very obviously important. There are six teams who need quarterbacks now. I'd say there's another two to three teams that could be looking for their quarterback of the future, even though they have an older guy there like a Geno Smith or like a Matt Stafford. So there are teams that need to go after quarterback. And I do think that it happens with Shedeur because I think he can play. And Clint, I've thought this comp, and I'm sure maybe some people have made it. What do you think about the Baker comp?
With Shedeur?
Yes.
I like him with the Dart kid, Jackson Dart.
You think?
I'm just talking stylistically.
Stylistically,
I don't know. You're probably talking more about the arrogance and the.
I'm just all of it together. You like, because I look at it, you know, neither Baker or Shedeur have, you know, any the overwhelming talent of like this crazy arm or the speed and being able to run, but I think they're accurate and they put the ball where they want to put it. And I think they are, you know, they got that outward cockiness, like both of them have. And to me, Baker's been successful two different times in his career, and went number one overall and been like I that's the feel I get kind of from him. I know you said Jackson Dart too, but
I'm just talking stylistically play. I mean, look, I think when I see Shedeur, I think he ends up, we make so much about this moving around in the pocket and athletic ability and yada yada. I think we see a guy that plays the game at the NFL level. We end up seeing a guy that plays the game like CJ Stroud. I think we see a guy that plays the game more like Joe Burrow, more like Jared Goff, like from the pocket. I think he is a pure pocket passing quarterback. I think he excels with touch and accuracy, which I think from the pocket is an absolute monster. And at the league, I think the league brings that out more so than college does. You can dance around in college and be a lesser athlete and make athletic plays and be in the right system. I think in the league, you've got to be able to make, I always call it, you've got to be able to make the football dance.
Yeah.
And I think mechanically, technically, I think he's got it. I think he can do it. I think a lot of people are going to be shocked with how well you see him throw the ball down the field and things of that nature. He was forced to get it out quick. He was forced to do the things that most college quarterbacks don't ever want to do, which is throw the ball within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage, be accurate, be on time. He was forced to do that because he had to overcome pass protecting problems. I'm confident, man, and I've been wrong a lot. Look, I mean, we do a lot of talking. I've been wrong, but I think I will be surprised.
I think he can play, and that's why I think
I think he can play. Now, so much of it is determined by where he goes. If he goes to Cleveland, he's probably not ever going to be a guy that arrives and plays at his You mentioned earlier New Orleans. You go to a place like New Orleans where you're in a lesser conference and you're indoors and you know. Historically, they put some weapons around the quarterback. They offensively have played some pretty good football. Now, that was Sean Payton for most of the time. But the point being is, right spot, Shedeur Sanders. I think he proves a lot of critics wrong and plays really, really, really well.
Real quick, Astros big series yesterday as they sweep the Blue Jays. They win 3-1 and now are 2 games above 500 and 1 out of the lead in the AL West, and they are coming along. And Clint, when you look at the guys they need, 2 hits and a homer from Christian Walker, 2 hits from Yiner Diaz, and Zach DiCenzo, what the hell's gotten into him? He's 3-for-4 last night. And then Ryan Gusto, he almost goes 6 innings, 6 strikeouts, 1 walk to get a win last night. So they had 13 hits last night, only scored 3 runs, but you're starting to see the guys you want to see get going behind Alvarez and the company. So,
well, yeah, I mean, you're starting to see some guys come around a little bit, and the Astros look like a completely different team, right? I mean, it's just the thing with the Astros for me, Ron, is the margin for error is so razor thin, right? I mean, they survived an early season, you know, storm, if you will, there with several guys struggling. But if you think you're going to ride the back of Zach DiCenzo, Jake Myers and Jeremy Pena to the tune of what Astros fans expect, you got another thing coming. So,
Tyler, Zach said, "Get on my back, damn it!"
Once again, it's convincing and it's fun to watch.
Get on my back, Zach. All right, coming up as we continue here with the Texans draft. How do you think you're going to be feeling walking away from this thing? Are you nervous that you're going to have to make yourself, convince yourself to feel good about what's going to happen, or do you feel like you're going to be naturally excited because of what the Texans do tonight? We'll discuss that and where they might go coming up next.
Live from Avenida, Houston, getting you set for tonight's Houston Texans draft party. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, we are back live, and you know it's getting serious as Mark Vandermeer has just arrived. We will hand it over to him. And is Andre with you all tonight? Andre Ware tonight with you? Andre Ware is with him, of course, the man who knows every single player. Shout out to Lindsay, who's in the building, the man who knows every player in the draft. Our guy, John Harris, he will also be along, and they will be covering this thing big time tonight. So you listen, there are no other places covering it like we are here at Sports Radio 610. I think Sean Pendergast will find his way out here this weekend, if not tonight as well, Clint. It'll be a good time, and this thing is starting to fill up. And I'm just wondering, I want to hear from the people. 713-572-4610. You can jump in on this YouTube and Twitch as well. How do you predict you're going to be feeling walking away from here, right? You know what I mean. There are times, like, listen, hardcore Texans fans, no matter what it is, Clint, you know, because this is just fans of anything. No matter what it is, you're going to spin and see the positive or see the this is how it could work type of a thing for the most part. Now, unless they draft a fullback or something or a punter or something, like, then you're like, what the hell? But You'll like, if it's somebody that is maybe a work in progress or something, you'll see it and make it spin to the positive thing. But how do you think you're going to be feeling? You think it's going to be that feeling of having to convince yourself that this is a good move, or do you think and feel like you're going to be walking away from tonight thinking, hell yeah, there goes Nick again, like he did when he came away with CJ, when he came away with Will Anderson in 15 minutes, like he did, yeah, you know, like he did with Kamari Lassiter, like he did. How do you think you're going to be feeling after tonight?
I don't know that we're ever going to feel the way that, or I hope we never feel the way that we felt with CJ backed up by Will Anderson. I mean, I told you I watched that video a little earlier of Andre Ware and Johnny Harris just freaking out. That's lose your mind type of stuff, man. So that I don't know that we're ever going to feel that. Hopefully we don't. I mean, that's a position that you're in. But here's the thing with the Texans for me. Is even if the Texans went off the rails and picked a position that none of us see coming, right? You still look at it and you go, oh boy, that's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, think, is there a position that, like, you want offensive linemen, right? Let's put it this way. You need offensive linemen. You need wide receivers. You would like to have an interior defensive lineman. I would like to have a running back too, right? So what if they go tight end? In a first or second round competitor. Whoa, come on now. Are you kidding me? I can get real excited about that. What if they go –
Especially if it's that dude.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, I mean, they don't go that far. But I mean, like, I don't know if there's a position out there. Maybe linebacker. I mean, I could get excited about corner, safety. I could get excited about maybe linebacker, maybe the only one that I'd be like, what the hell is going on?
But
and look, I'm not – for everybody out there, I'm not saying they're going to do that. I'm just saying
– that would fall in the category of having to convince yourself of seeing what they're seeing. You tell yourself, oh, man, D'Amico must love him. D'Amico must think he could be a special player. Or
yeah. I'm 100% confident I'm going to walk away – from really not just the first round, but all the premium picks, feeling really, really, really good and positive about what Nick Caserio's doing. Because either he's filling an absolute need or he's drafting a player that with the pieces that are already in place, we're going to see that guy excel immediately. We're going to see that guy plug and play and make plays immediately. So, you know, that's – for me, I mean, all these premium picks, man, the one, the two, the two threes – all of those picks right there, man. I just expect Nick and D'Amico to hit that thing out of the damn park.
Text line coming in. If we get a big sum B from the O-line, I'll be happy, is what someone texted in. In Nick we trust. So someone's just like, hell yeah, in Nick we trust. Someone texted in and said, I think I'm going to be heartbroken. The Texans already made a sucky trade with the Browns.
If you're letting fifth round picks and sixth round picks that also include 2027 picks, quite boy, frankly, you're letting that break your heart. Woo.
Yeah. I get the sense that Texans fans are not going to have to fake their way through this one or try to convince themselves through this one. I think, Clint, we know that the Texans have two glaring needs, and we know that there are better players in those positions than others. And I think, and I agree with you what you said in 5 o'clock fire, that the Texans are going to be aggressive and make a move to get one. And I think Texans fans are going to be excited and happy because they're going to make a move and they're going to get aggressive and they're going to go get somebody at one of those positions. Right? Like, I don't tight end would be fun. I don't think they're going to do that. I think they are going to feel one. I know, as they say, we go best player available. Well, I think they're going to trade up and go get a player that fits one of their needs and that one of their two major needs, which is something across the offensive line and something at receiver. And I think that is going to excite Texans fans.
Yeah, it makes too much sense, right? I mean, it makes too much sense. But Nick and D'Amico have gone off the cuff before. I didn't see tackle last year coming at all.
In the second round?
I mean, yeah. I knew. Yeah, I did not see that pick being used as a tackle. Not only did they use it, but the guy ended up starting a playoff game. So I look.
And now he may not start.
Right. Now they're going to draft his replacement. This one's going to be hard for a lack of better terms for Nick and D'Amico to mess up. In my mind, it's going to be tough for me to walk away. Not only happy, but I mean ecstatic, excited as hell about the future of that particular player as well as the Texans.
Yeah, someone texted in here. I will be happy as long as it's not a defensive player. I know you. You're open to D tackle, right? You're open to if.
Well, I just know what an interior defensive lineman that is, and I'm talking plug and play. I mean, look at what's going on in Philly. I mean, this isn't.
They keep going to get him.
Well, this isn't just an Aaron Donald conversation anymore. I mean, it's happening more and more around the league. And when you look up, look Kansas City with Chris Jones, and I mean, you know, Buffalo's got a couple of them. Ed Oliver being one of them. But they I mean, you just look around the league, and when you can get that guy that is a true game changing type of player at the interior defensive line position, it's hard to pass up. They could afford to get younger there. You know, when you come up and you're going to have to pay Will Anderson that big money on the edge, along with Derek Stingley that big money outside, I mean, you're going to want some impact players on the inside. You're not going to be able to afford several 1 or 2 year deals the way that you have been. So you need a youngster there that's playing out of his mind. I don't think they're going to go there, but if somebody slips and they can get him, it wouldn't shock me.
Earlier statement from you coming here from the text line. I hear what Clint is saying, but if we don't come out of this draft in a great place on our O-line, I will be very apprehensive about next season. We are not good enough to draft best player. We must fill needs.
Oh, look, you're preaching to the choir with that. I'm not a best player available guy. We are literally talking about what's going to piss you off and what's not. It's going to be really difficult for me to walk away from this draft not really excited about the Texans' future. But if you get down to it,
like you wouldn't be ticked off if they found and moved up and got the tight end from Michigan, Colston Love.
I don't think in any way, shape, or form Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans are sitting there going, we're just gonna sit our ass right here 25 and take the best available. And that's the way when they deliver it. When people talk about taking the best available, I think that's the way people receive it. Right, I just don't think that's the deal. Is they got their eyes on certain players. I think Nick and D'Amico have their eyes on certain players more so than other organizations with this character, culture, chemistry thing. And I think that they may move up two or three and take the best available. But moving up two or three means the best available is going to be a position of need for them. So it's pointing up. It is definitely pointing up for me too, and I'm excited about it. So. Yeah. We'll see, man. We'll see. About go time, ain't it?
Yeah, it's just about there. Draymond Green will be pissed off in Game 3 as Evan Mobley wins Defensive Player of the Year this year. And, I mean, Draymond was really pushing for that thing. Made a late charge when Wimby got hurt. But Evan Mobley wins Defensive Player of the Year. All right, coming up as we continue live from the Texas Draft Party, I want to show some love to a couple of people with the Rockets that – you know, aren't getting a lot of the headlines that I think really stepped up and helped them really come away with this win yesterday to even up that series. And we'll do it. You can do it as well. We'll give our prediction of what the Texans are going to do tonight. We'll give our prediction and see if we're right. Coming up next, we'll continue that right here live on The Drive.
Hughley is came in the game.
Houston, getting you set for tonight's Houston Texans draft party. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. As we are live here, Texans draft party, and we are about to hand it off to the voice of the Texans, Mark Vandermeer, and also John Harris. I saw him somewhere around here. I think he's building up to this. This is John's moment right here. John, he'll be here, and like I said, man, you're not getting any better analysis, and nobody more prepared for these players in the draft than John Harris, and then Andre Ware. He will join the gang as well. So that's who we're handing that off to.
I imagine Johnny Harris, Ron, just staring at himself real hard in the bathroom somewhere.
You got
right
this.
Now.
You got this. You're the best. Here he is. He just came out. Yeah, probably got on some clean kicks. Johnny, no, John.
Johnny's John. Fighting that sun. Johnny's yeah. Like, let me get over here in this shade, baby. Yeah, that Johnny's sun's going to bake me.
John said he's ready to go, man. I can't wait. I can't wait to. But that's coming up behind us, Clint. And also, we'll get, just because, hey, it's the draft party, we're still going to make you a little cash. We'll get to T-Mill's best bets here in just a bit. And like I said, coming up behind us, there it is, John Harris right there. He's ready. He's ready to go. Coming up behind us, our official
draft coverage begins with the fellas. And like I said, nobody's covering it quite like we are right here on Sports Radio 610. Again, if you get on out here, there is food trucks. There are drinks for you, drinks for your kids. So make it a full family affair. Kids can get some photos with Toro, with the cheerleaders, and you can enjoy yourself here and have a good time as the Texans, who it feels like they may be on the move to make some moves with the trade to add three more picks earlier today. So we'll get to that. I want to get to here in a second, and you can throw yours in on YouTube and Twitch and on the text line. Ultimately, what do you think the move is? Who do you think the Texans are going to pick? We'll get to that. Clint, I want to show some love real quick. Yesterday, we talked a lot about yesterday's huge win for the Rockets, and we talked a lot about Jalen Green. We talked a lot about a lot of different things. I want to give some love, Clint, to Ime Udoka, one, and Fred VanVleet, two. Ime Udoka, to me, Clint, we talked about making some adjustments. You said you didn't think he had his best game from a coaching perspective. He came in there, and you could see clearly he made some adjustments, right? Not just saying, hey, man, we'll shoot it better, and these guys will have less nerves. No. Clint, the biggest thing, and you've talked about it, and we said, man, you got to put some confidence in Jalen Green. I would be shocked, Clint, if there was nothing leading up to that game saying, "Hey, we got to get Jalen going. We got to get Jalen going." Right off the bat, they put the ball in his hands to go be aggressive and make decisions. And I think that was clearly a coaching point. The different places where he got Jalen Green, and you don't know if he would do that if he just say keep playing. No. He said, we got to get this cat going.
Yeah.
And I think that was the biggest thing. So I think the confidence that he put in Jalen Green and putting him in those spots led to that 38-point performance.
Look, I think the shift was obvious, right? The shift was obvious. And Amen Thompson said it. You know, there was a thought going into that first game against Golden State that the playoffs are different. And hey, man, we should maybe slow this thing down a little bit and keep Curry from being such a big part of the game and play defense. And anyway, from game one to game two, now in hindsight, you know it. You saw it. The pace was totally different. The focus was getting Jalen Green and Amen Thompson downhill more often. And so, yeah, Ime Udoka, man, tipped the cap. He did a hell of a job of adjusting from game one to game two and got it right.
Yeah, I want to show some love to Fred VanVleet.
Yeah.
Listen, we on this show, we came at Fred as hard as anybody at that first game performance. We continue to talk about him leading the team in field goal attempts, him being the one shooting damn near 20 shots, 13 threes in a game where he didn't have it going. Mm-hmm. We talked about, all right, should he come off the floor? Should they make some decisions? And Clint, he didn't have a great game numbers-wise if you just look at the stats. But to me, Clint, he clearly adjusted, right? He was the fifth player in terms of shot attempts in the game. Right, and that to me is where he should be, right? And he only had one more attempt than Amen Thompson, who I think needs to be a little bit more aggressive, but that's another thing. But that to me was a clear adjustment that he was going to try to get others involved and not just keep taking shots and going with this. And he also allowed guys like Şengün and guys like Jalen Green to get going. And I like that adjustment, so I give him a shout-out. Because you know, hey, man, I played bad like that. No, man, I'm going to come back, and I'm gonna get it. I'm going to get it up for my team. And he did it in a different way.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest tip of the cap to Fred VanVleet is simple. When you are a player with those pelts on the wall, that kind of veteran making that kind of money, and you go out and have a bad night, and I'm talking to a point where everybody in the NBA is talking about, we weren't the only one focused in on Fred VanVleet. It was an unorthodox night where he just wasn't good. And so you look at it, like, for that guy to then go out there the next week and just really concede the ball to Jalen Green time and time again and give him the reins, I didn't expect him to buck the system. I'm not saying he made that by that decision by himself. I'm sure Ime Udoka said, hey, this is what we're going to do, and I need you to execute it. But at the end of the day, for him to completely change the approach and give another man the reins of the offense for the majority of the game to be the predominant ball handler.
Yep.
Yeah, tip to cap to him for damn sure. That was big time.
So shout out to Udoka and Fred VanVleet. All right, you can text in your thoughts on this as well. Clint, where do you think they ultimately go? We've talked a lot about what could happen tonight. Where do you? What do you think is the move? Where do you think the Texans ultimately go tonight?
I think Booker. I think Booker. I think they got a little insurance with this trade today that's going to allow them that to, if they need to move up a couple of spots to get their guy tonight, I think they have the insurance. They have the draft picks. They have the draft capital to do so. But I think Booker is where they got their mind. You can't sell me that they need more tackles. I think they need more guards. I think they need youth. They need a guy that fits what they want this offensive line to look like, not just the culture of the Texans. And for all intents and purposes, what I'm hearing is Booker is that guy. So I'm gonna go with Booker, the guard out of Alabama.
All right, there you go. You like Tyler Booker, Clint? I don't know, man. I got a sneaky feeling, Clint, as you've said earlier. I get the feeling that they're more comfortable with their offensive line moves than I think many of us are.
Yeah.
And many of fans are. And when you think about moving up, because I do, I think they are putting things together to move up, and we're hearing a lot of that. I think they're going to try to move up to get a big weapon.
Ooh.
And I am going to say that they go and move up to go get Golden from Texas. I think they're going to move up to go get another outside receiver.
I could get down
to
with
go
it.
To go and fill that void. Listen, I feel like their priority should be the line, but again, I think they feel more comfortable about that. I think they feel more comfortable where they are right now with the offensive line than they feel about John Metchie and Xavier Hutchinson and Justin Watson being the third receiver.
I think that's very fair, and I could be dead wrong.
I think they're going to move up, and I don't know that you just move up for another tackle, Clint.
Yep.
And I know Kelvin Banks. We talked about Kelvin Banks can play inside too. I think you move up for something that you feel for sure about.
Well, I could get good and turned on for that. You know, they have a propensity to go out and get guys that have ties to Houston.
Yeah.
Golden's damn sure got that. He knows Tank Dell knows him. CJ, I'm sure, knows him through Tank. And so, yeah, I could get down with that. What's up, man?
Yeah.
I could get down with that, definitely.
All right, as we continue, as I said, we'll hand this thing off.
That was aggressive.
It was. I remember him last year. He was aggressive.
He doesn't mean nothing by that.
No, he doesn't. It's a fun aggressive. It's a good aggressive. It's not a Draymond aggressive. All right, we'll hand this thing off to the fellas, Mark Vandermeer, John Harris, and Andre Ware in just a second. But let's make some money. Let's win some money. Last night, 3 out of 5, 60%. And we did our thing last night, Tyler. Let's see if we can make the people some money again.
That is right. We rebounded the way we needed to last night on those NBA playoff bets, and we're going to do the same. Being pretty consistent this week, we got NBA playoffs, so I'm giving you some more NBA playoff bets. No Rockets. Game 3, if you did not know, that's going to be Saturday night, so be on the lookout for that. But I got six of them today.
Yeah.
Bumped it up one. We got work to do. Here are your 6 bets real quick. If you miss any of them, I tweet them out at T-Mill Real Deal. Do Sam a little bit fast here. Grizzlies, +9.5. Take the points against the Thunder tonight. Nuggets, also with the points, +6 at the Clippers this evening.
Yeah.
That same game, Nuggets, Clippers, over 213.5. Thunder, Grizzlies, over 116.5 in the first half of that game. And then 2 player props for you. This one we hit on 2 days ago. Ja Morant over on his points tonight. It's set at 24.5. That's what I got. And then Kawhi Leonard over 6.5 rebounds for the Clippers this evening. Those are your 6 best bets. Any of y'all love, or Ron, I know you'll tell me if you hate one.
I like the Kawhi one. I like the 6.5 rebounds. I just think with the amount of minutes he's going to play, I think Kawhi's going to run into 7 rebounds. This damn John Morant, one, the Grizzlies, I don't like that. I the Thunder just beat the hell out of teams, and I don't think, like, you would think this is the game, right? Game 3 is they get back there and they avoid getting their asses kicked like they did and they go home. I don't like it. The Thunder, I just think, are a bad matchup for them. I like the Nuggets +6 against the Clippers because I think they're going to win that game. tonight. So I do like those. That just John Morant, he should get 25. You think he would be ready to go in this game tonight? But
you know what, man, I wish they had on my site? Over under grenades for John Morant tonight.
He gonna get as many as he can. I would set it at 3.5, but who knows? But no, man, I like the Kawhi Leonard. I like the Nuggets +6 pick as well. So, and I like the over on 116 because I think the Thunder are gonna go off.
Let me get on that Kawhi with you, Tyler. Let me get on that Kawhi Leonard with you,
team. I got you. I'll lock in, brother.
Yes, indeed.
All right, great job.
See you boys in a minute.
Great job tonight, Tyler. Great job tonight, Clint, as well, coming up behind us. Our draft coverage right here on Sports Radio 610 starts as Texans All Access, Mark Vandermeer, John Harris, and Andre Ware will take this thing over. Let's see who the Texans pick. Remember, come see us tomorrow at Blue Water Seafood out up in the north. Land, come check us out as we'll be there from 2 to 6 as our crawfish circuit continues. I am Ron, the show. As always, Houston, we love you, baby.
Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be.
This is real. I ain't sleeping on that.
You need to go to sleep on the couch. Let me think. No, I ain't gonna be doing it.
He said, hell no, this ain't step by step. It's a good time being
here. The Houston Texans are on the clock.